Hi, and welcome to this series of 5-minute podcasts reflecting on the theme of qualitative research and the early years learning environment. In this episode, I'm going to briefly consider the interesting and well-studied concept of validity, which is one of the concepts used when assessing the quality of a research study. The concept is familiar in everyday use. No, that's not a valid form of ID. You'll need a driving license or a utility bill, which suggests not an acceptable or legitimate form of evidence, and obviously somebody is making the rules here. Then also, although what you're saying seems reasonable, it's not a valid argument, suggesting any one of a number of logical flaws. Actually, this everyday usage isn't so far removed from the positivist view typical of quantitative research. When there are flaws in the application of the scientific method, i.e. when the rules haven't been followed precisely, this can have the effect of invalidating the research. This positivist view focuses on measuring the extent to which the truth claims match to reality, and the validity of the research depends on how strictly the scientific methodology has been applied. For example, were data collection and interpretation of results conducted objectively? A visual image helps with this. A faulty thermometer giving an invalid temperature reading may nonetheless reliably show a reading of 95 degrees every time it's placed in boiling water. The history of qualitative research, on the other hand, is characterised by the attempts of qualitative researchers to find a more appropriate way of assessing the quality of qualitative research. Emden and Sandilowski, in their 1998 scholarly paper entitled The Good, the Bad and the Relative, Part 1, Conceptions of Goodness in Qualitative Research, available as a Google search, trace the historical transformations of the validity concept from researchers championing the concept to translation, to exile, redemption and surpassing of the concept. Numerous concepts of goodness have been introduced as more appropriate to the particular character of qualitative research, such as Gubber and Lincoln's trustworthiness and authenticity, Burns' concepts of descriptive vividness, methodological congruence, analytical preciseness, theoretical connectedness and heuristic relevance. Then also the focus on emerging criteria and positionality, amongst numerous other validity-related concepts. To be clear, the key differences between quantitative and qualitative approaches are located in their different epistemological and ontological foundations. For example, the duality of researcher and researched, the idea of the objective world, is less evident in qualitative research, where the correspondence theory of truth has been replaced by a constructivist view of the nature of knowledge. And where qualitative research is positioned within the condition of postmodernity, research may seek to present multiple truths, partial knowledge, and is by its nature a form of critical subjectivity rather than objective knowledge. Insofar as there is no one qualitative method, qualitative research is never invalidated because of not following the method. In view of the potential descent into relativism that this implies, Rolfe argues the case for postmodern ironism, in which he suggests that all views are entitled to a fair hearing and consideration by experienced and established practitioners. Interesting point, and one that relates well to the generative theory of social science expounded by Kenneth Gergen. I'm now going to highlight a few points of contact with my own research, which is using multimedia when focusing on the early years learning environment. Incorporating multimedia into the research report provides the opportunity to maintain a focus on the lived experience of the encounter with the setting. Similarly, use of poetry and vignettes can also help to communicate contact with the setting that is less easily achieved through conventional report writing. Insofar as my research exists in a multimedia format, conveying multiple viewpoints within a consciously designed non-linear hypertext environment, Laurel Richardson's aesthetics criterion appears at least as one potential indicator when evaluating quality, as Quayle, with a similar view, notes. When dichotomy of facts and values is abandoned, aesthetics and ethics come to the foreground. When knowledge is no longer the mere reflection of some objective reality, but the construction of a social reality, the beauty and juice value of the constructed knowledge comes to the foreground. I'd like to finish by noting that my research paradigm as a generative model presenting multiple faces relates well to Richardson's metaphor of the organic crystalline structure, which is offered as a replacement for the more two-dimensional concept of triangulation, and to Patty Leather's concept of transgressive validity, the validity concepts relating to rhizomatic knowledge structure, paralogy, irony and simulacra all have particular interest here insofar as the generative paradigm has a parallel in ill-defined knowledge domains. Anyway, that must be 5 minutes by now, and for the next topic, some other brief reflection on qualitative research and the early years learning environment. See you soon.